This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
I won't run, I will stay, I'm not leaving you. I know there's friction here, the struggle makes us new. I wish you never thought you had to go, wish you never thought you had to leave. We can lift each other up, we can build a shelter for the weak. No man is an island we can be found. No man is an island when you're gone down. You don't have to find me, I am for you. We're not meant to live this life alone.
No man is an island we can be found. No man. On the nights when the dark lasts a little bit longer, when the wind and the storm is a little bit stronger, when the fear in my heart digs a little bit deeper, when my faith to stand gets a little bit weaker, where could I run to? Where could I go? Even when it feels like my world is shaking, even when I've had all that I can take, I know you never let me go. Whoa. And even when the waters won't stop rising, even when I'm caught in the dead of the night, I know no matter how it ends, you're with me even then. When the days up ahead look a little bit brighter, but the grip of the past holds a little bit tighter, reminded your grace never asked for perfection. Oh, I'm restored cause I'm yours and I stand forgiven, yeah. Even when it feels like my world is shaking, even when I've had all that I can take, I know you never let me go. Whoa. And even when the waters won't stop,
up, fathers. This is Seamus Gordon with the Father-Child Connection. On the third Sunday of June each year, we celebrate Father's Day. May this one be the happiest one yet. Dads, your presence or absence affects your child in so many different ways, which is why it is important for us to take some time out to salute you, to affirm you, to celebrate you. Being a dad is not easy. Believe me, I know it. But it is worth it. It is crucial, therefore, that as men, as dads, we invest in self-care. I'm always struck by the mandatory safety announcement that the flight attendant gives before every flight takes off. An important part of the instruction makes it clear that should an emergency occur and the need for an oxygen-giving device becomes necessary, I should put on my oxygen mask first before I attend to my little daughter. That seems, on the surface, the exact opposite of what I want to do as her dad. However, the logic is clear. If I don't take care of myself, I won't be around to take care of her or anyone else. So dads, invest in yourself. Our motto at the Father-Child Connection is invest in children by investing in fathers. If you would like to learn more about how you can become a better father or how you can help someone else become a better father, call us at 561-229-2379 or email us at admin@thefatherchildconnection.org. Dad up.
All my life I longed to be a hero. With my sword raised high, running to the battle. I was gonna take giants down, be a man you would write about. Deep in my chest is the heart of a warrior. So why am I still standing here? Why am I still holding back from you? I hear you call me out into deeper waters, but I settled on the shallow end. So why am I still standing here? So afraid, what is my cost to follow you? I'd walk by faith if I could get these feet to move. But I don't wanna live that way. I don't wanna look back someday on a life that never stepped across the line. So why am I still standing here? Why am I'm so tired of standing here. What if I gave everything to you? What if I gave goodbye to standing here.
Hello, everyone. Brother Jimmy here from Sunrise Tabernacle Church, Fort Pierce, Florida, inviting you to our annual camp meeting at 3280 South 25th Street in Fort Pierce, June 8th through the 12th, Sunday, 11 a.m., 6 p.m., Monday through Thursday, 10:30 a.m., and 7 p.m. nightly. Sunrise Tabernacle Church Camp Meeting Conference. Come out and be a part of what God's doing at Sunrise Tabernacle Church, 3280 South 25th Street, June 8th through the 12th. For more information, call 772-275-4565. Sunrise Tabernacle Church Camp Meeting, 3280 South 25th Street, Fort Pierce, Florida. Be there.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. dry and weary land, where there is no water. I remember you at night, through the watches of the night, in the shadow of your wings. I sing because you help me. My soul clings to you, and your hand upholds me. You alone, you alone, you alone, you alone.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
And everything within me cries, the door, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the joy of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, did his will with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. With my soul, my soul, my soul. You promised to be faithful.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Luke chapter 24. I'm reading from the New Living Translation at the moment. On the Emmaus Road, there were the two disciples or two followers of Christ that had this encounter with Jesus. They didn't recognize him, but he talked with them. Eventually, he broke bread at their meal, and then they recognized him. And then he would show up with all of the disciples, and they are actually frightened, it tells us in verse 37. The whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. In other words, they just could not believe their eyes that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you frightened? Why do you doubt who I am?" And then he showed them his hands. "Look at my hands and look at my feet. And you can see that it's really me, because in his hands were the scars from the nails that had punctured them just days before. And in his feet there also were those wounds from the nails in his feet." He said to them, "You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see. He showed them his feet. And then this verse, every time I read this verse on this passage, I always think about this. "Still, they stood there doubting." They saw him, saw his hands, saw his feet. They're standing there, but they're questioning and they're doubting. How can this be possible? And at the same time, they are filled with joy and wonder. So they're shocked that he is there. They're amazed that he's there. They don't understand how he could be there. And at the same time, they're excited that he is, and they're trying to figure it out. "Do you have anything here to eat?" Jesus asked them, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. And then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you everything written about me by Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms, that all these things must come true." Then he opened up their minds to understand these many scriptures, and he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah must suffer and die, rise again from the dead, and on the third day, he rose from the dead." And then this is this commission, Luke's portion of it. He says, "With my authority," he's going to give a mission to the disciples. Some would call it a mission and a commission. I believe it's both. He says, "With my authority, take this message of the resurrection to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who turn to me. You are witnesses of all of these things." Now, the disciples would come to understand more and more about these truths. They would remember more and more what Jesus had said. And as they would read the scriptures, it would make more sense to them as time would pass. In Romans, there are these words, Romans chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. "Now, if we died with Christ," in the scriptures actually identify our born-again or salvation experience with God as being participants in the death of Christ. You say, well, how is that? Because God sent his Son, Yeshua, to carry our sins and die for us. And so in his death, he put to death the penalty that was upon us for our sins. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Anybody in here believe that? That the resurrection was not just so we could see, wow, God is able to rise from the dead. It is for that purpose, but not that purpose alone. The real purpose is so we would know that we too will rise from the dead. That death also will not hold us, and that we will be conquerors over death. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again, only one time. Death no longer has mastery or authority over his life. Now this morning, I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey in the next few moments. And you may say, Man, what is all this about? We're going to go back to the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, I want you to look at some scriptures with me this morning and think about how strongly God wants each of us and the nations to know who He is. And that mandate that He gave His disciples, Matthew says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This mandate of getting the message out is an imperative of God because it's the only way that anyone can ever spend eternity with God is through Jesus Christ. So go with me to Daniel chapter 4. Now in Daniel chapter 4, we're going to see an account that deals with a king. Probably many of you are familiar with this passage. This king's name is Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you have heard of Nebuchadnezzar before? All right, well, he's in there. Now, I'm not sure exactly what all you're going to remember about him, but he is from Babylon. He's a very wealthy, powerful king. Actually, he is basically the primary ruler in the world at that time. So he has a tremendous amount of wealth, tremendous amount of power, huge armies, and he had a huge ego, just like a lot of politicians have always had, government leaders. But not just there. There's a lot of pastors that have big egos as well. And there's people in many professions. In fact, I'm just going to say this. I believe all of us, because of our relationship with Adam and our connection with sin, that all of us are sort of born with this attitude to want to be in charge and then want to take claim and fame for anything that's noteworthy in our lives. And then many will grow up that way and end up saying, I don't need God in my life. And maybe never say that and never think that consciously or out loud, but will live their life as if there is no God, as if they will live forever, and by doing so, actually take the position of I'm in charge and I'm my own God. I'm my own master of my own destiny. And many live their life that way. Now, I understand when you're young, I like seeing some young people here this morning. When you're young, you know, the thought is, I can do anything I want to do. I'm going to live forever. And you have this sense of, I look back on it as insane freedom, this recklessness, this. But then sometimes it's the case that as we get older, we never lose that. We continue to think, I'm just going to live forever. So the kingdom of God is not about perfect people getting better. The kingdom of God is about people who thought they could do it without God, but one day realized, I need God in my life. Nebuchadnezzar, he kind of thought he had it all put together until there's a message that comes to him. He has this dream. It's shocking. It's scary. And we kind of see early on that there's a little bit of a tip that God's involved in this man dreaming this dream, that the purpose of the decree that's going to go out, it's for a purpose that the whole world might understand that the Most High God is king over all the kingdoms of the world, over every heart, and gives them to anyone He chooses, even to the lowest of humans. Well, there was a warning given to the king. This is what the dream means, Your Majesty, and what the Most High, what God has declared will happen to you. Now, this king wasn't used to being told what to do. But God's going to tell him this is what's going to happen. You will be driven from the human society, from the human race. You will live in the fields, and you will live with the wild animals. In other words, God was saying to him, you're going to lose your mind. You're going to go crazy. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with the dew of heaven. 7 periods of time will pass while you live in this way until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone He chooses. What is God seeking to do? Mess somebody's life up? No. Is God ceasing to take away the position of leadership and power and wealth that this king had? No. God's wishing to touch him and make him realize that there is a God that rules. This was the only way, obviously, because God knows the only way to get through to our hearts. And so God is trying to reach him. He wants all the kingdoms of the world to know this. But God decreed this, the stump and the roots were left in the ground. This means you will receive your kingdom back. That was a promise. You're going to go crazy, king, but you're still going to live. And after a season, once you have learned that heaven actually rules, then you will, your kingdom will be given back to you. Well, Daniel, who's interpreting the dream to him, pleads with him, King Nebuchadnezzar, please listen to me. Stop your sinning. Do what is right. Break from your wicked past by being merciful to the poor. Perhaps then you will continue to prosper. But the king didn't listen. And so in all these things, they happen just like this. 12 months later, the king, he's taken a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. He looked across the city and said, look at this great city of Babylon. I, by my own mighty power, have built this beautiful city as my royal residence and as an expression of my royal splendor. While he was still speaking these words, a voice called down from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You're no longer ruler of this kingdom. You'll be driven from society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow. 7 periods of time will pass, 7 years, until you learn that the Most High rules over all the kingdoms of the world. Well, after this time, that's what happened. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king who went crazy. Everybody just let him go, and he went out and lived in the fields with the wild animals. But after this time passed, how long? 7 years. After this time passed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, I looked up to heaven, and my sanity returned. And I praised and worshiped the Most High and honored the one who lives forever. He woke up. God gave him back his mind. And when he was restored, he understood and was ready to acknowledge that God was king. This is what he says. He said, I worshiped, I honored the one who lives forever. His rule is everlasting. His kingdom is eternal. All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him. He has the power to do as he pleases among the nations and the angels of heaven and with those who live on earth. No one can stop him or challenge him, saying, what do you mean by doing these things? And so in verse 36 of that passage, he says, when my sanity returned to me, so did my honor and glory and kingdoms. My advisors and officers sought me out. I was reestablished as the head of my kingdom with even greater honor than before. And now I want you to hear what he has to say. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and glorify and honor the King of Heaven. Pretty awesome. All his acts are just and true, and he is able to humble those who are proud. This is a very important time for our nation. And I would ask all of you to prayerfully prepare your hearts and to continue to lift our nation up in prayer. We've been having National Day of Prayers for a long time. The church has been in prayer much for our nation. And I believe we're beginning to see some spiritual breakthrough in our land. We need a whole lot more. Know and understand it's important that we as a nation call upon our national leaders, local leaders, and all of us together surrender our hearts and lives to God and seek his guidance and favor. King Nebuchadnezzar, as I was brought back to this passage and looked at it, reminds me a little of our current president, Donald Trump. President Donald Trump. I suppose most of you saw when that bullet was so close to killing him, instead cut through his ear. When things like this happen in a leader's life, the leader can either say, I was really lucky. Boy, I missed that close call. Or else a leader can do something else. A leader can say, I believe God protected me. You see, Nebuchadnezzar could have said on his 7th year and anniversary, I've got my mind back. I don't need God. I didn't need God to build this city. I didn't need God to run this nation. I didn't need God to become wealthy. He could have reverted to all of his own ways, but he didn't. He didn't. Instead, he looked up and he said, I am going to praise God. Now that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to give glory to God. I'm going to give praise to God. I thank God that our president gave God glory. That's significant to me. That's significant. How many people have had close calls and never had a second thought to even think that God was even involved in it? Many people never pause and think to give thanks that God actually has His eye on us, and He has His hand on us, and He has desire for us to be a part of His family. I'm not going to ask for anyone to give any stories this morning, but I would challenge you to look over your life and think about the times when there was a close call or there was a situation. I don't know if yours started as young as mine did, but I was just a baby in the crib. First close call that I had. I don't know how old I was, just a few months old at that time. Apparently at that time there were rubber sheets or covers that were put on the mattresses to protect them. Mom told me the story many times. She was busy doing housework, came in to check on me, and I had rolled up in that rubber mat and was dead. Mom said I was a dark purplish black, that I had stopped breathing. She didn't know if it had been for 5 minutes or for 30 minutes. She didn't know how long it had been. But when that happened, I had a mom that knew where to go. She went to God. Mom didn't have driver's license at that time. Mom didn't have a car. Maybe some of you remember the days when we didn't have telephones and cell phones hanging out of our pockets. There was none of that. Mom didn't have any way to get a hold of an ambulance or to get anybody to come out. But Mom knew that there is a God in heaven. And Mom began to cry out to God, and she said, well, part of her prayer, I know she prayed, she said, I cried out to God and said, God, you didn't give me this boy for him to die in the crib. You gave me this boy to be a child of God. Mom said as she cried out to God and prayed that eventually there was a cough or a sneeze, and she didn't know how to give any kind of mouth-to-mouth or any of that. She didn't do any of that. She lifted up her heart to God, and God gave me breath back that day. That was when I was a baby. I told that little story to hopefully help you think about your life, that your life is what it is because God loves you and cares for you. We need to remember this is the body of Christ. There's more to this story, and I'll go to the second part, and then quickly we will come to a conclusion. The rest of the story is that Nebuchadnezzar had a son whose name was Belshazzar. And we only have to turn over about one page to find the story about his life. And when we begin to read about him, we find out that Dad had truly told him everything that happened to him. So this was not a hidden story. He grew up in the king's house. He experienced all of the delicacies and all the favors of being the king's son. And then the day came when he was put in charge of the nation. Actually, the account and the very words are repeated that Dad had learned that the Most High God rules the kingdoms of the world and appoints anyone he desires to rule over him. He had been told that. And Nebuchadnezzar had told his son, you are his successor. You're the successor, Belshazzar. And you know everything that happened to your father. And yet you have not humbled yourself. And I do believe that at this time in our nation and at this time in our families, that maybe we could all just take a moment this week to think about the fact that God has been good to us as a nation. God has blessed us as a nation. And I do believe that it was a public call to our nation to recognize the mercy of God in the attempts that have been in our president's life. But I don't believe it's just for the president. I also believe it's for the entire nation. For us to step back and say, it's not only President Trump that had a close call. Most of us had, and I believe God is calling our entire nation to come back to Him. And many haven't yet. And many of us, if we look into our families, we'd probably find saints and sinners, because all of our families have had plenty of sinners and probably a few saints. We can't go back and change what they were, but I believe in these days, God is calling us to come back to Him, and as a nation, to return. Belshazzar did not listen, did not humble himself. In fact, he defied the Lord, the God of heaven, and actually brought the sacred and consecrated vessels that had been created for service to God. They had been in the temple. They had been taken when Israel was taken captive, and had taken those and brought those out for the big party that he was throwing. And so now the consecrated vessels are being used, and they are having their drunken party, and they're praising gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, gods that neither see nor hear nor know anything at all. And the message was, you have not honored the God who gives you breath. Think about that for a minute. You have not honored the God who gives you breath. When was the last time you stopped and said, thank you, God, I know that you're the one that gives me breath. You've not honored the God who gives you breath, the breath of life, and controls your destiny. The rest of the story is that that was the last day Belshazzar was king. That was the last day. Maybe you've seen the movie where a hand shows up on the wall and begins to write. Belshazzar is petrified. He's shaken to the core. But not to repent. Not to repent. The message is given that God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. You have been weighed on the balances and you have been found wanting. You failed the test. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, was killed. And Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. In Hosea, just a couple pages over, in Hosea chapter 5, I have read this and thought about these words. Israel at this time as a nation had, they were backslidden. And Hosea was a prophet calling them to return to God. And there's a statement from God in chapter 5, verse 15, that says, then I will return to my place until they have admitted their guilt and look to me for help. Josephus and others took note of the fact that when Jerusalem was to fall, that the glory of God left the temple. In the wilderness, it was a cloud. Some of you remember that. There was a cloud that went in front of them, and then there was a cloud that was behind them. And so if God was going to lead them forward, they would have light to move forward, but he would put a barrier between them and their enemies. He would actually protect them. And so the glory of God showed up as fire on occasions. It showed up as a cloud. It showed up as a heavy fog. And there were times when in the temple, the worshipers would find that they could not even find their way. The priests couldn't find their way to minister because there was this heavy fog that filled the temple. I read this and I thought about this, that God actually said to Israel, I'm going to withdraw myself from your nation and I'm going to return to my place. But whenever you, most often it's when we get in trouble, whenever you are in trouble, as soon as trouble comes, I know you'll be searching for me, and then I'll listen. I was thinking about that. This is an opportune time for us to, as followers of Christ, again, thank God that we know he is the one that gives us life to live, and he is the one that determines our destiny, and that he is the one who has been merciful to our nation, and he is the one who calls our nation to return to him. And that this scripture says that as soon as trouble comes, they will search for me. And then God gives this invitation in chapter 6. He says, come, let us return to the Lord. This is message coming through the prophet. Come, return, come to the Lord. And in just a short time, he will restore us so we can live in his presence. And then in verse 3, chapter 6, oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. Then he will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in the early spring. It's that time of year, isn't it? Actually, we just celebrated resurrection, but we also, as you know, celebrated Passover. The Jewish people still celebrate Passover. Passover celebrates the Exodus. It celebrates God's working in their life and deliverance from 430 years of bondage as a nation, they were delivered. And so this is the season coming into springtime. It's a season of changing months coming into the month of Nisan. It's a time when for the Jewish people, they celebrate. It's a time to leave the winter behind and to get ready for the spring flowers and get ready for the vacation times and get ready for a new season. And I believe that God is desiring to bring a new season to our nation again. I believe God's looking to bring a new season to the church again. My wife already prayed it this morning, and it is the prayer of my heart. I desire to see with my eyes and to be a part again of another great, visible move of God in my nation, in my lifetime. Oh, I've seen some awesome moves of God. Probably around this room, we could testify to many of them. But when I read about Pentecost and what happened when the Spirit of God ignited the church and brought a tremendous awakening, at that time, there was a tremendous operation of the Holy Spirit's power in not only filling and baptizing the church, but also in doing many signs and many wonders and many miracles. And I pray for that day again. You may have some areas in your life where you can't change things. Doctors can't change things. And you may say, why did God do this to me? And why would God allow this in my family? And why am I under such a burden like this? But I want to remind you, before you criticize and judge and condemn God too much, to stop and think that God is the one who gives you breath today. Years ago, a lady asked me if I would identify her son. It was tragic, the death. Somebody had to go identify the son. She said, none of us can do it. Pastor, would you go and look and see if this is my son? I said, yes, I'll do that. Called the funeral home and made my way over. And what I saw, I trust I never see again in my life. A young scholar student got mixed up with some drugs in school, really lost his mind, and laid down on a railroad track. Christmas was coming. After the service, a few weeks went by, Christmas was coming. I'll never forget the card that lady gave me for Christmas that year. She said, we can curse the darkness or we can light a candle. That's what the card said. That lady somehow, not because she was strong, not because she was someone different than any of us, but because of God in her life, she realized that God was still God, whether she could explain it or not. Whether it made sense or not, God is still God. And she could find plenty to be thankful for rather than being lost in a bottle or whether it was a bottle of spirits or a bottle of pills. She chose not to do that. She said, I'm going to light some candles and I'm going to thank God for every year I had my son. And I'm going to thank God that I have God in my life. I believe God's wanting to call us back.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
If we're going to tackle any subject in Scripture, which we do, we regularly tackle one subject after another, we're not going to do it using our 10 favorite verses. We're not going to go to the internet and say 10 verses on and study that. We're going to dig until we find them all.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church, inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m., and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.
At the cross.